before we get into the message tonight. Have you ever heard children pray? Sometimes it's comical. I don't know if these are real prayers or not, but they could be for sure. These are prayers, kid style. Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There's nothing good in there now. Here's another one. Dear God, I wish you would not make it so easy for people to come apart. I had to get 3 stitches in a shot. Here's one. Dear God, how did you know you were God? Who told you? I mean, think about it. These could be real prayers. Here's another one. This one's good. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all the people in all the world. There's only 4 people in my family, and I can't even do that. Dear God, my grandpa says you were around when he was a little boy. How far back do you go? Dear God, do you draw the lines around the countries on the map? If you don't, who does? Dear God, here's another one. This is good. Dear God, did you did you mean for giraffes to look like that, or was that an accident? Yeah. Dear God, maybe if Cain and Abel would have had their own rooms, they wouldn't have killed each other. It works out with me and my brother. Here's one from a little girl. She says, Dear God, if you watch closely in church on Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes. Here's one from a boy. Amen. Dear God, it's great the way you always get the stars in the right place. Why can't you do that with the moon? Anyway, here's the last one. Save one, the best one for last. I think this was from a boy. Dear God, thank you for that baby brother, but I asked for a puppy. All right, amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, please stand with me for a few minutes. I'm going to read some verses, beginning in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5. Sorry, y'all. Okay, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, don't you like that? The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight from those verses and some others on the beauty of being a church member. The beauty of being a church member. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to understand what you have laid on my heart. Thank you for this place and these people. Now, God, we beg you for your power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is very pastoral type message. I usually preach more, but different style of message, if you will. But I really feel like this is what God has for us tonight. Some things are beautiful and it's obvious. Blooming flowers in the springtime. Sunsets, sunrises. They're obviously beautiful to the naked eye. Other things aren't quite as beautiful. They have to kind of be researched a little bit, looked into a little bit further. Same goes with people. Some people are just obviously beautiful as soon as you look at them, like my wife and my daughters. Other people are simply, have you ever heard that phrase where that's a face that only a mom could love? Not necessarily beautiful to behold necessarily, but it kind of depends on the perspective, doesn't it? On who's looking. It's obvious though to us that God's creation is perfect in every way. He is the creator of all things, and the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that He hath made everything beautiful. In His time, in His way, everything. And so I believe that includes even those people who, well, it's said, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. People, folks, we have a blessed, blessed God, and who is a very loving and wonderful, gracious, and merciful God. And I want to tell you something tonight, that He has made something beautiful for us in this world, and that is His local church. Amen. And again, this is not something that's quite so obvious to just someone looking on from the outside, so to speak. This is something that maybe needs a little bit more investigation, if you will. This is something that is not necessarily obvious to everybody of the beauty of being a church member. And dare I say tonight that even to a lot of church members, they just don't really completely comprehend the beauty that it is to be a member of God's church. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about being something that you have a right to be or deserve to be. I'm talking about something that God has done for us and given us as a privilege. A privilege to be a member of His local, independent, New Testament, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, amen, red-letter edition church, I believe, Baptist church. And many people are not members of any church. Can I tell you today, we have a problem today with false doctrine teaching that everybody that gets saved is automatically a member of a universal invisible church. That is heresy. That's not true. Just because you're saved does not automatically make you a member of any church. Right. Any church. No church. You're a member of the kingdom of God. You're a member of the family of God, but you're not a member of a local, independent, New Testament, Bible believing church. You're not. Many people have been members in the past, active members, but now they're no longer active for different reasons, for whatever the case may be. But God has made for us a church and gave it to us as a blessing, right, as a benefit, as an advantage of being His child. Right. God gave us the church. I didn't dream it up. God gave us the church. God gives us many blessings through our church as members as well. I want to stop here and say tonight that not every building that has the name church on it is recognized as a church by God. Okay? Just because Johnny come lately decides that he wants to preach his heresy and goes and rents a building and puts a sign in front of it and calls it blah, blah, blah church, it doesn't mean it's a church according to the Word of God. God has to build, God has to start, God has to authorize. God is the one that gives us church, not any man on this earth. The church has to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. The church has to have the authority, listen, this is important, of a sending church.
Yep.
A church starts a church, not a man, not a person. God sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ started his church, and then he told his disciples to go into all the world and do the same.
Right.
And I believe it's still going today.
Amen.
Well, because it's perfect. All power is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and do the same. Do you likewise? A church has to be sound in its doctrine, in what it teaches. I'm not talking about somebody not liking what the Bible says and going starting themselves another church. That's not a church. Church, that's a cult.
Yep.
That's a cult. That's blasphemy. That's happening, though. It's been happening for thousands of years. A church has to be organized and ran according to the pattern and the principles in this book. A church, listen, a church, in order to be a church, has to be organized and established and has to have one male pastor. One male pastor. Not a priest. Not a woman, not a father, a pastor. That's a church. He serves as a under-shepherd for the flock of God, God's sheep. Look at verse 2. Feed the flock of who? God. Feed the flock of God. It's their God. You are God's sheep. We are sheep of His pasture, the Bible tells us. Listen, we are all belonging to God's, but there are different flocks of sheep in different areas, bodies of believers that have a pastor. A pastor is a man that's called of God, not a man who decides he wants to get hired and make some money and get on TV. The man of God is called of God, and God puts him in the ministry for the work of the leading and helping and being a pastor to a flock of people in a local area.
Right.
The pastor has to meet certain qualifications.
Amen.
Laid out in the Bible. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Man, I cannot get this thing to stop blowing on my Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And He, God, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So right off the bat we see the pastor is given, He gave pastors and teachers. The pastor is a gift from God to a local flock of God. Now listen, I'm not here to toot my own horn, but you need to just bear with me for a minute and understand what the beauty of being a church member, but understanding that God is the one that puts a pastor in place, not a man just deciding to do, listen, not a committee, not a convention, not a board of directors, but God puts a man in a place where he needs to be. A church can have deacons. Deacons are in an office of the church. But a church does not have to have deacons in order to be an official church. But the deacons, listen, are not there to run the church.
Right. Yep.
The deacons are there to serve and to help, and serving and ministering and helping the pastor and the people.
Right.
Let me say something to you. Just like anything else in this world, the devil, however, has taken what God meant for good.
Amen.
And has corrupted it.
Yep.
Just like he does with everything else.
That's right.
Satan has many counterfeit churches with counterfeit pastors.
Yep.
Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles. A false apostle is no different than a false dollar bill, a false $50 bill. It's counterfeit. It's not real. Such are false apostles. Notice, deceitful workers. But they're working. They're laboring. But they are false. They are deceitful. You know, I can get away with paying for my bills with a counterfeit dollar bill for a while.
Nope.
Until I get caught.
That's right.
Until someone who knows better points it out, and then I get arrested. Listen to me. God knows better. God knows who's real and who's false. God knows who's really working truth and who's working deceit. The Bible says they're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, where they're not the apostles of Christ. And no marvel in verse 14. For Satan himself. Wow. Now, who the Bible is comparing these false apostles, these deceitful workers, these counterfeit men to who? Satan.
Right.
Satan. That's who they came from. That's where they come from. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Right.
Satan himself knows how to make himself look like he's light.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, in verse 15, it's no great thing. It's not a big deal if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. And listen to me, church. I'm trying to get you to understand, just by way of introduction tonight, that there are a lot of things that are going on out there today in this world under the name of church and under the name of pastor or apostle or bishop or whatever they call themselves. And the Bible tells us that there are false, that they are deceitful. They are satanic.
Amen.
Anything that's not true according to the Bible is false. It's Satan. It's wrong.
Right.
It's evil.
Amen.
1 John chapter 4, verse 1, don't turn there, says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Try them. In other words, prove that they're really of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Many.
Amen.
All over your city. All around your neighborhood, your streets and highways of this city. Many false prophets are going out into all the world. Why? Because Satan is a deceiver. What he has done, listen, he has made people think that just because they sit in a church service one day, or they sit in a church service once in a while, that they're exactly like they're supposed to be. They're good with God. Everything's fine. They are deceived. They are duped. They are fooled into believing that some man told them a nice little story about how good they were, and they felt good, and everything was great, and they went home, and that Satan has lied to them and deceived them and made them think that they're okay. But God says every spirit is not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
There are many spirits gone out into the world. There's a spirit that can make you feel happy, but it's not the Holy Spirit. By the way, God never said, "Be ye happy." He said, "Be ye holy."
Amen.
What God gives His people, listen now, what God gives His people is for their good.
Amen.
It's for our good. It's for blessings. What Satan does is he comes behind God and he sets up fake copies of these things in order to deceive and destroy the masses of people. Church, listen to me tonight. A church is a blessing from God. It's a beautiful thing that God has given His people. But it's not what the world makes it out to be. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to encourage you tonight to understand that you are sitting not in a church that was started by the pastor, but in a church that God has given this people, you, this flock, for a very specific reason. It's a beautiful thing to know that I am a member of God's church. It's a beautiful thing to know that I know the truth. I have been made free from the lies and the errors and the false deception of Satan. And now, listen to me, I am in the house of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is God's church. It is God's house. And listen, we ought to understand, and I hope tonight that we'll be able to leave a little bit more understanding of what the beauty and the blessings it is to be a member of God's church.
Right.
In our text here, there are some very specific blessings, benefits, advantages to being, notice, an active, faithful church member in a church that God establishes. Number one, there is feeding. Now, don't get excited. I'm not talking about the cake and ice cream later. I want you to notice verse 1. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort." The elders, the word elder here is a reference to the leader of the church, the leader of the flock, the pastor. When the Bible says in verse 2, the flock of God, it's referring to the sheep, flocks of sheep. And the only person that oversees and leads and takes care of a flock is a pastor. So the word elder, the word bishop, the word pastor, they're all synonymous in God's word, okay? They are the leaders, the pastor. Now, it doesn't mean that there's elders leading, but it means that there's elder in this church, elder that church, elder. There's elders among you in different churches. But the fact is, it doesn't necessarily mean that the pastor is older than everyone, okay, but that he is a spiritual elder. He is a spiritual leader. He is a pastor that God has told, look in verse 2, feed the flock. Feed the sheep. If you remember in John, and this, by the way, this is Peter. This is Peter's first epistle. And it was in John chapter 21 that Jesus told Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, he said, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Notice what he says here in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. So Peter was experienced in feeding the flock of God, feeding the sheep. So what I'm talking to you tonight, first of all, is the spiritual feeding of spiritual food that comes from being a faithful member of God's church. You and I have to understand something. I talk to people enough, and so do you maybe, but you get around talking to people and inviting them to church and tell them about church and the Lord Jesus Christ, and they all have, the world has gone so far as to say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be in church. I don't need a God. I worship the Lord my way. I do it my way. I meet with God in my living room or out in the woods. And all of these things that people have come up with today. But God tells us that in order to get fed, we must be a member of God's church. Right away, I see a few things here in this scripture that God wants me to have spiritual food. God wants me to have spiritual food. By the way, you ought to be thankful for that because food is good. God wants me to have spirit. Yes, exactly. There's nothing unhealthy in here. Everybody's on a natural food kick, natural food craze, natural, natural, natural. This is all 100% organic, natural, God-given. There's nothing unhealthy. Nothing unhealthy in here.
Right.
Amen. So set your heart at ease. It's all organic and natural and healthy. It's all 100% of God. And everything that God does is right, pure, and holy. Amen. So there you go. God wants me to have spiritual food. Can I tell you, God, listen, God knows I need spiritual food.
Right.
Oh. I need it. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God wants me to have spiritual food, but God knows I need spiritual food, or else He wouldn't tell the pastor to feed the flock.
That's right.
You need to come to grips with the fact that you need spiritual food.
Amen.
You need to be spiritually fed. And let me tell you something. Just going to any old church, any old time, is not what I'm talking about.
Right.
God has a pastor for a flock, and then He uses that pastor to feed that flock. That's the way God set it up. God knows I need spiritual food. Hey, can I tell you something else that I see here? God knows I don't know how to feed myself all the time.
Amen.
Oh, you can get a hold of God in your own Bible, in your own house, and prayer, and you feed yourself with a spoon and fork and knife, I hope. I'm not coming over to your house and feeding you your spaghetti, okay? But the fact is, God knows that we need spiritual feeding as well from the pastor, from His church that He's established. Christians who are not in church are not getting fed.
Amen.
Christians who are not faithfully in their church are not getting fed.
Right.
Every meal that I miss negatively affects me.
Yep.
Now, I understand fasting. It is a spiritual work that God has left for us. But there are very few Christians that fast for spiritual reasons. Let me say this. There are very few Christians that miss a meal for any reason. It ought to be 1,000 times more important to us to never miss a spiritual meal
right. In
our church. Every time the man of God stands up here and preaches this book, every time you come to Sunday school and your teacher teaches that book, you are being fed spiritual food that God has established that we need.
Amen.
We need. Christians, therefore, who aren't faithful, who are not active in their church, they're not getting fed. Therefore, listen now, they're starving spiritually. They're starving. They're going to starve spiritually. A starving person starts off being weak. You know, when you don't eat a meal or two or three or four, you get weak. You're going to get weak. And then that weakness, it's going to make you grumpy. How do I know this? Because I fast. I'm not bragging about it, but I know that if you're not very careful, when you start missing meals, your body starts screaming at you.
Right.
And you have to fight staying right with God. That's why you replace food with prayer and the Bible when you're fasting. But if you just miss a meal or two because you're too this or too that, you're going to get weak, grumpy. Come on, just admit it. Come on, grumpy. And you know what's going to happen eventually if you just stop eating all the... Well, you know what you're going to do? You're going to croak. You're going to die.
Right.
Now, do you get the picture?
Amen.
What happens to Christians who start missing meals?
Amen.
They start getting grumpy. Why is it that when you knock on somebody's door who used to be in church, but they just decide I don't need it anymore, they don't want to talk about it. They're grumpy. Well, because they're not getting fed.
Amen.
And it's a blessing. Isn't it a blessing to have a good meal? By the way, you may be able to stick it in your mouth yourself, but it's God that gave it to you. It's God that provided it for you. You may be able to stick it in your mouth yourself, and obviously we're not talking about me feeding you like a baby, but the fact is God has established this for some reason that He knows that we need to be fed. A starving person will oftentimes, listen, seek anything and everything they can find to eat.
Right.
Pay attention now. I'm trying to... When you start getting hungry and you can't seem to find... You just will eat anything. I mean, the prodigal son, listen. He was willing to eat that hog slop. Why? He's hungry. Now that's not what he was eating when he was at the Father's house, the house of his Father, where he belonged. But he decided to go on a far country trip, and all of a sudden he started getting hungry, and I guarantee you he started getting grumpy when he realized he had to start eating hog slop. But he was going to eat it because he was hungry. And boy, Christians start eating and believing anything and everything when they get out of church. Somebody mentions the name of God, and I'm going to go. Well, then they mention the name of Christ, and you watch every TV junk on, and they're all preaching anything they want to preach. They're making millions of dollars off of your little bit of money, and listen, you it's because you're starving, because you're not faithful to your church, and they start eating. I don't know about you, but junk food is no substitute for a nice, good, warm, hot, home-cooked meal. Amen. You can't go down to 7-Eleven and find that.
Right.
But you know, if you start getting used to eating that, it starts to taste better. And it starts to taste better. And then you get used to doing it, and then you do it more and more often. I mean, I have a friend, a preacher friend of mine, in Oklahoma, who enjoys going to the hospital and eating the hospital cafeteria food on purpose. And every time I go visit him, he takes me down there.
Well, come on.
And I say, brother, we need to talk.
That's right.
No, I don't say that. I just graciously go and eat. But I guarantee you, it does not compare to my wife's cooking.
Amen.
It never will. But you know, for some reason, I don't know. Maybe I know his wife. I know she cooks. I don't know what happened. I guess he got used to it for some reason. But I hope he doesn't listen to this online or anything. But I love you, brother. I'm just picking on you. Okay. Anyway. But when you get hungry, you'll eat anything. I mean, you'll eat anything you can get a hold of. You don't want to wait for the real thing. And what it does is it bloats you to the point where you're not hungry, but you're not fed. You're not nutritionally sound. You're going to get unhealthy that way. You're going to eat fast food and more fast food and more fast food, and you're going to get fatter and fatter and fatter, and you're going to be less and less healthy. And listen, in spiritual life, it works exactly the same. When you don't come to church, you get starving, you get thinking, so you start listening to this person on the radio and that person on the TV, and they talk about God, but they're false apostles. They're teaching heresy. But it sounds good to you because you're not fed like you should be. Now, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying tonight, but listen. When Satan knows you're starving, he baits the hook with false doctrine, and he hangs it out in front of you.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if you've ever been fishing or not, but why does a fish bite a hook? Why does a fish go for a worm that's hanging off a hook? Aren't they? Don't they have any brains?
No.
You know why? Because they're hungry.
That's right.
Because they want to eat.
Come on.
All of a sudden, they get a hold of that worm, and it not doesn't taste so good.
Oh.
And he can't get off.
Right.
Except for the one that got away. But that's another story.
Yeah.
Satan, listen, he watches. He's not omnipresent, but he has a very large army of devils. And they are constantly targeting you as Christians to try to get you away from your food, away from your meals, so that they can bait you with false junk food and get you hooked to the point where you're going to end up starving and spiritually dead and worthless to God.
Amen. Right. Well,
God says you need spiritual food. You need to be fed.
Right.
You need to stay fed. You need to, by the way, you can't just be fed 2 or 3, 4 times a week or you'll really be hungry. You need to feed yourself at home, and you need to definitely understand that every time the doors are open, there's time for me to go get fed from God's man that God has placed in my life to help me stay healthy.
Right.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing. Some of you are looking at me like, whoa, but I'm trying to get you to understand. It's a blessing to know that God would love me so much to give me a church. Boy, I can remember so many times in my church before I was called to preach and came up here and started preaching to you. By the way, a pastor, we need preaching too. I listen to it, but be careful now. I'm not listening to anybody on the radio. I know who I'm listening to. I'm listening to pastors that I know personally. And we're going to preach the same doctrine that I do. But listen, I go to meetings. We go to revivals and things like that. Why? Because it's good to be fed. But I remember those days in my home church where God would just help me get just help me with a meal to help me get through another day, to help me get down the street another week. It's just a blessing to be fed from the scriptures to the pages of God's word, the food that meets my every spiritual need. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Every bit of that false food that we feast on many times because we're hungry spiritually, all it does is feed your flesh. Listen to me, feed your flesh, and your flesh is always contrary to the Spirit of God. You feed yourself on fast food, spiritually speaking, where you're not hungry for the real stuff anymore. So when you do come to church, you sleep. Let me tell you something. If you sleep through a meal, you're not going to get fed.
That's right. Amen. Well,
I bet you don't go home and sit down at the table, belly up to the meatloaf, and go and sleep all the way through the meal. Now, some of you may, I pray for you.
That's right. Amen.
But I've never, ever, ever once slept through my meatloaf.
Come on. That's right. Amen.
Never once have I slept through my lasagna.
Nope.
Hungry, and I wake up and it's gone. Never.
Nope.
I know where it is when it's gone.
That's right. Come on.
It's right here.
Well.
But we come to church. Now you don't sleep during the singing. You don't sleep during. But when it's time to get fed from the Bible, and you wake up and it's gone, and you don't even know what was said.
Right.
Listen, God, it's because your minds are filled with junk food.
Amen.
You're not hungry.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Spiritual health, listen, is important to maintain, and it's only going to be maintained as a member of a Bible-preaching church.
Right.
Amen. Come on, y'all. Somebody say amen. Spiritual health is, according to what I'm reading in the Bible, spiritually healthy people are only going to be that way as they're actively faithful in a Bible-preaching church.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God knew we needed that, and He gave it to us. Glory to God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise God for His wonderful blessings. We get fed as a member of His church. Number two, not only is there feeding, the second beautiful thing, blessing, is overseeing. Now look in verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. He's speaking to the elders, the pastors. Now, that word oversight, let me explain that to you real quick. It means to look upon. Not just glance at, but to look upon. To inspect. Now, this is where I'm going to get on some of your toes. It means to look after. It means to care for. It means to look carefully at.
Yep.
Analyze.
Amen.
Inspect.
Amen.
Diligently. Proverbs 27:23 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks." Diligently to know the state of thy flock, to know how the sheep are doing.
That's right.
Now listen, don't get quiet and go to sleep on me. You're still getting fed.
That's right.
The oversight, the overseeing does not happen when you're not an active, faithful member of God's church.
Yep, that's right.
Not everybody that preaches is your pastor.
Nope.
Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28. Not just feeding, but overseeing. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Now this is Paul the apostle speaking unto the elders in Ephesus, the pastors. Take heed therefore, notice, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost, not Bob or Smith or Jim Bob, Joe, Susie, Jay and Jane, but the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers.
That's right.
Now it says to feed the church of God, there it is again, which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood. God has bought and paid for our church with Jesus' blood. Now look in verse 29. He says, but you need to be careful to take heed and to all the flock overseeing, for I know this in verse 29, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. What the man of God is telling them, look, he says, therefore, watch. 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 He says, men of God, pastors, you have got a flock that God has made you overseers of. You need to understand that there is going to be predators in and out of their lives all the time.
Amen.
Watch, God says, to the pastor. Watch over the flock. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, that there were shepherds in their field keeping watch over their flock even by night. How many nights have I sat up and prayed for you? Because I see predators that you don't see, that you won't listen to me when I warn you.
Amen.
That's my job.
Amen.
And it's a beautiful thing if you'll let it be.
Yep.
A person who's not a member of a church does not have this.
That's right.
They don't have it. This is God's plan for His people to be active members of His church, not just to get fed, but listen to me, to be watched over. Now, this is where you don't mind eating a good meal sometimes, but don't let the pastor tell me anything about what's wrong with my life.
Right. Come on.
I'm still talking about the beauty of being a church member. And some of you have forgot about the beauty. But listen to me. Now listen. This is why that I said at the beginning of the message that many times you have to look more closely into the issue to understand the beauty of it. Because most people will go to a church where the man of God is preaching and preaching hard and there's fire coming out of his nostrils and they say, no way, I'm out of here. Nobody's going to talk to me like that. But the power of God is there to help you stay out of hell first and stay right with God.
Right. Good.
God gives the man of God the preaching power of God to help his flock stay out of the mouth of the wolves.
Yep.
But people say, oh, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You don't understand the beauty of being a church member.
Right.
You're missing it. You're missing the whole point. When the pastor tells you that he said he notices a problem, don't answer me out loud. When the pastor tells you, look, this needs to change, do you think, glory to God, somebody cares about me?
Hello.
I've never heard that.
That's right.
I've never heard any of you say that.
That's right. Hello.
Matter of fact, you clam up and get real tight-lipped.
What?
And bow up like a bullfrog and say, poof, 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 and start spitting at me.
Hello.
Everything my wife says in the ladies' meetings, by the way, goes through me.
Yep.
Amen. It goes through me. She shows me at the house. She said, here, honey. She called me honey. Here, honey. This is what I'm going to talk to the lady. Is this okay?
Right.
Everything the teachers teach in their Sunday school class, it goes through me.
Nope.
I know. I tell them what to teach.
Right.
I mean, I don't tell them every word to say, but I give them the lesson and the Bible scriptures, and I know what they're teaching.
Good.
I know what version they're using of the Bible. I know what they're teaching. I know what's going on in their classes. But listen to me. It's a beautiful thing, because God has established a pattern for us to be protected from the wolves.
Right.
Outside of the flock, you don't have that.
Nope. That's right.
There's always those one or two sheep who kick.
Yep. That's right. Amen.
Or sometimes it's 10 or 12 sheep. But it's normally because you don't understand what you really have.
Amen.
You don't see the beauty in it because you don't understand what you really have. If your house was on fire and the firemen came in and broke down the doors and yanked you up by the and drug you out the hallway, and maybe you got a bruise on your backside, oh, and a cut on your elbow, are you going to say, how dare you pull me out of my burning house? Who do you think you are? But that's how you treat the preacher.
That's right.
When he sees your house on fire.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Don't look down yet. It's not time to pray. It's because you don't get it.
Amen.
It's because you don't have the wisdom that God's trying to give you tonight. To understand that you, when you're in the middle of something, you can't see the big picture. But a pastor who's looking over sight of this flock can see the whole picture.
Amen.
Moses was up on the mountain with Aaron and Hur. Joshua was down in the middle of the battle. Joshua couldn't see everything, but Moses was up and had a different perspective, and he could see down on the battle. And listen, God puts a man of God over the flock for the oversight thereof to help them from the wolves.
That's right. Amen.
There's no end to wolves. There's no end to the wolves in this world. Can I tell you something? These wolves are grievous. That means they are angry. They are out for blood. They're not friendly. But listen now. How do they get into the flock, preacher? Because they dress up like sheep.
Right.
They may even sound like a sheep. And God says, I'm going to put a shepherd over my sheep. Feed them, yes, but I also want you to oversee them to protect them. Praise the Lord!
That's right. Amen. Go on.
Why aren't y'all shouting?
Well, go on.
Oh. Why ain't I shouting?
Go on.
Because you still don't get it.
Right.
Because you're not getting the fact that this is a beautiful advantage that God gives only to His church members.
Right.
Not all the Christians, His church.
Amen.
If you're just saved, you don't have an overseer.
Right.
If you're a member, active member of the Bible-believing Baptist New Testament local church, amen, I'm telling you, God has given you an overseer to help you see things that you don't.
Amen. Right.
I'm not one that likes to bring up problems, and I always start out by praying about it.
Right.
But I told my wife today, she said, honey, you had a good service, didn't you? She called me honey again. You had a good service, didn't you? Yeah, we had a good service. She said, well, you seem kind of distracted. I said, yeah, I know. It's just always issues to deal with. Always. And that's just part of being a pastor, I guess. Once somebody gets the wolves away, somebody else has got them sitting in their lap.
Right.
That's part of being the pastor, I guess. I start off praying about it, and then I realize I've got to talk to them.
Yep.
I've got to talk to them. I, of course, I preach what God gives me in hopes that you'll just come to the altar and get right so I don't have to talk to you because I don't like getting in your business. But the fact is, that's what God has called me to do.
Yep. That's right.
And by the way, I'm not getting in your business. This is the flock of God.
That's right. Okay, come on.
Look at Hebrews chapter 13, quickly. I've got a few more minutes here. I know y'all are waiting to eat cake, but Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, the overseers, and submit yourselves. Ooh, I know that's a bad word. Submit yourselves. Notice, for they watch for your souls.
Amen.
Notice, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy. You know what? There are some people that I can go to and I can tell them, look, I see a problem here, and they joyfully receive it. But there's others, it says, and they may do it with joy and not with grief. There's others that cause me great grief when I try to help them.
Yep. That's right. Amen. Come on.
And notice it says, for that is unprofitable for who? Not the pastor, you.
Yep.
It may cause me grief, but it's unprofitable for you when you don't submit yourself to the one who has the oversight. You should be thankful and obey the ones that God has put over you so you don't grieve their soul, so you don't grieve their ministry, so you don't grieve their hearts, because that's unprofitable for you.
Yep. Right. Amen. Well,
you.
Amen.
It means you won't get anywhere. You're not going to get any help. When the man of God is seeing something and trying to help you, watching for your souls in prayer and in daily interceding and standing in the gap before God, before you, and for God's sake, and to help you, and then you won't submit, you just object and oppose, it grieves me, but it leaves you unprofitable.
Right.
And unfruitful. You won't gain any wisdom. By the way, you don't get any wisdom from being told that you already know everything.
Yep.
You know where you gain wisdom is when somebody corrects you.
Yep. Amen. Right.
And instructs you in righteousness.
Right.
And even reproves you and says, look, you need to change this.
Amen.
It's bad. It's not going to help. And instead, you could gain wisdom from that instruction. And you could grow in the grace and the knowledge. Instead, you oppose it. You grieve me, yes. But you make your life unprofitable. Not mine.
Amen.
Not mine. Yours. go back to our text there in 1 Peter, just a couple pages to the right. I want you to notice something in verse 8, speaking of, well, let's start in verse 5, excuse me. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. We're still talking about the same topic here. Submit yourselves, there's that word again. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God, notice, resisteth the proud. When you resist the instruction of your pastor, God resists you.
Yep.
You better like it or lump it, but it's Bible.
Amen. That's right.
It's Bible.
Yep.
Now, you know, I'm not talking about going into your house and telling you how to arrange your furniture. I'm talking about spiritual things here.
That's right. Amen. Come.
If I had to go rearrange your furniture, God help you.
That's right. Amen.
My wife does that, and I can't ever seem to agree with her. But anyway, well, we're still praying about that.
That's right. Amen. Come.
Verse number 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore. Huh. Under the mighty hand of who? God. So it's God's hand that's put all this in place.
Amen.
And when you fight me, not because of me, but because of the position that God's given me, you are fighting God.
Right.
Amen, preacher. Thank you for helping us.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, not me, but God. Be sober, be vigilant. Notice verse 8, because your adversary, the devil, that wolf, as a roaring lion this time, take your pick. You can be devoured by a wolf or a lion. Which one do you prefer? Neither one of them are going to be very comfortable.
Right.
Walketh about, seeking, hunting whom he may devour. Listen to me. You are being hunted. You are a sheep being hunted by the lions and the wolves. But God, in His blessed, wonderful plan, has given you a pastor to oversee and help you stay away from the predators.
Right.
When I'm humble and I submit to the pastor and his leadership and the Bible, I'm submitting myself to God and His plan and His design for me. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. Now, it's still beautiful, whether you like it or not. Remember, it's still beautiful.
Amen. Come on. Right.
Amen. Isn't it terrible how many people have no idea what they're missing?
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I think it's terrible.
Right.
I talk to them and they just argue and argue and argue about, I don't need, I don't need, I don't need, I don't need, I don't need. And they're just missing everything.
Right.
They're missing everything.
That's right. Amen. Yep.
Because Satan's got them blinded.
Right.
And finally, I'm done. I better be done. Verse 3. Not only do we have feeding and overseeing, but we have leading.
Good.
Leading in verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples or examples to the flock. One of the blessings of being a church member is having a pastor as an example. Now listen, I don't want to sound arrogant here, obviously. I'm not, again, like it says, not lords over God. I'm not a lord. I'm not lording over you. But God puts a pastor in a church, listen, to give the church an example of what God wants primarily, number one in our lives, and that is faithfulness.
Amen.
Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, quickly. I'm going to hurry. I didn't think this was going to be long, but y'all are such blessed, loving, liberty-giving flock. Amen. I just keep preaching and preaching and preaching. But I'm hurrying. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who put Paul in the ministry? God. Why did God put Paul in the ministry? As an example. Why? Because he counted me what?
Faithful.
So as a member of a Bible-believing Baptist New Testament local church, you have not just feeding, not just overseeing, but you have leading in this area of faithfulness. God didn't call me to do this because I'm the most intelligent. And you know that by now.
Amen.
God didn't call me to do...
Amen.
Son, I owe you one. God, I was on a roll too. God puts faithful men in the ministry. Listen now, faithful men, and then he puts them in churches as examples of that faithfulness.
That's right.
You don't have to wear the exact same color suit and the exact same size shoes and the exact same belt and cut your hair the same way, although it's a shame for a man to have long hair. But you have an example of faithfulness. It's not about being... Let me say this to you. Faithfulness is not just coming to church every time the doors are open, but that would be a good place to start.
That's right. Amen.
Because if that was indeed all that faithfulness was, these chairs got us all beat.
Amen. That's right.
They don't ever leave. That's not just what faithfulness is. Listen, faithfulness means to be trustworthy and true.
Amen.
Trustworthy and true. Trustworthy and true. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint.
Amen.
They're not trustworthy. Faithfulness also means, listen, to be true, yes, but it also means to be wise. You got to look at this quickly. Matthew 24:45. Amen. I'm going to feed you some extra, and then we'll go home. Matthew 24:45. Faithfulness also means to be wise.
Right.
Not. It says, therefore, in verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Listen, faithfulness also means that you're wise. When you learn to be faithful, that is very much wisdom.
Right, amen.
Just being faithful, trustworthy, and true. And when I look out there and say, there's somebody that I can trust on, I can depend on, then you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, there's somebody who's learned to be wise.
Amen.
Wise. Faithfulness is also being a good servant. Matthew 25, right there, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Good servant. You're faithful. It means you're good and thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. It means to be wise. It means to be a good servant. It means to be godly. The 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. So when I'm faithful, I'm becoming more like God.
Amen.
It means to be true, trustworthy, like God, wise, good servant. Would you say you are a good servant? Would you say that you're wise? Would you say that you're trustworthy? Would you say that you're true like God is true? It means, listen to me, Revelation 19 verse 11 says, I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called, capital F, faithful, and capital T, true.
Amen.
Who was that? Jesus. Jesus. When I learn to be faithful, and God can look at me and say, thou good and faithful servant. You know what he's calling me? He's calling me the same name he gave his only begotten son.
That's right, amen.
Woo, glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
That kind of does something for me.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing to be a member of God's church.
Right.
I'm fed, I'm protected by the pastor, the shepherd, and I'm led in the example of faithfulness. It's a beautiful thing. Feeding, overseeing, leading. I wrote this down. Someone to feed your hungry soul. Someone to watch for your hunted soul. and someone to follow as a helpful example of faithfulness.
Amen.
You're not going to get that at Walmart.
That's right. Amen.
I know Walmart has everything under the sun. You can't buy these things at Walmart.
That's right.
Ephesians 3:21, don't turn there. It says, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end. Amen. God set all this up.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
God set all this up. It's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Feeding, overseeing, and leading. Now listen. Can God look at you and say, better yet, will God look at you and say one day when you get to heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Not if you're not a faithful member, active member of His church. You're not going to hear those words. I want to hear those words.
That's right. Amen.
I want to hear those words. It's a beautiful thing. It's going to be a beautiful thing. But it's going to be disgraceful and sad. Shameful for how many believers, how many Christians have been duped by Satan into believing, I don't need no church. I'm just going to go out in the woods and sing Kumbaya.
Come on.
I'm just going to go to the Promise Keepers and hold hands with grown men. Yuck! Do it God's way.
Well,
it's a beautiful thing.
That's right.
I love my church.
Come on, man.
I love God's church.
That's right. Amen.
I'm thankful.
Amen. Amen.
For the blessings, the beauty of being a member of His church. Father, I thank You for the Bible. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would keep working in our hearts tonight. Oh God, it's so encouraging. Challenging, but such a source of gratitude to understand what we have in the church that You gave us, that You put together. Help us, God, to appreciate it more, to be more faithful, active, involved, to be more thankful, God, for all that we have because of Your church. Bless this invitation, I pray. Work in our hearts. Lord, if nothing else, help us to just bow a knee and say thank You. Lord, where would I be? I don't even want to know where I would be without the church that You used to save me, to call me to preach, to save my children, my family. God, I don't want to know. Lord, I personally want to say thank You for the church that You gave me. You put together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Ethan, can I get you to play a hymn of invitation, please, tonight? No one's looking around. I hope that you understand. I'm not here to dictate and lord over you. I'm no kind of dictator in that regard. I just want you to understand that God has put this thing together. As He plays tonight, would you stand? Would you find a place to kneel? And just say thank You, God, for letting me know the truth, for putting things together for me, for letting me be a part of Your church. Would you do that tonight as He plays?